The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What are you doing?
Oh, sitting here watching baseball with you.
It's
How are you? Yeah, good day. How are you?
Nice out.
Everything good in your world?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Anything new?
Nope.
No?
I watched TV last night. That's it. Have you watched Fallout?
No, but people on Twitch keep talking about how good it is. I want to watch it. It's on my list. I have not started it.
Well, my buddy Mike texted me, you know, I was at home. I don't remember what I was watching, baseball probably or something. He texted me, he's like, have you seen this Fallout? And I was like, I want to watch it. You know, it's been on my mind of things I want to watch. He's like, I'm half an episode in. You should watch it.
Are a lot of people super excited about it because they're so into the game? Because I played the game, but not a lot.
He said he never played the game.
Okay, good.
And I've never played the game.
Okay. I played it, but not like a ton. It wasn't one of my... I didn't know if that had anything to do with people's excitement levels or not. The trailer looked cool.
I think maybe... The only thing that I thought in my mind was if you played the game, you may not have as many... I don't want to say questions, but, like, you may not be trying to figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, you know, because I'm like, well, what happened here? Why? So, it's more of a movie to me, and I don't know the ending of it. I'm guessing if you played the game, you might know the ending of it. I have no idea. But that's the only thing that I thought about. I was like, oh, I wonder if people are curious about this if they played the game as I am. But then I texted him, and I was like, did you play the game? He's like, no.
Okay. I figured as much that you wouldn't have to have played the game or know much about the game to watch it. I don't even know.
Poncho says there's Easter eggs that you can get if you play the game, but that's about it.
Okay.
So I was aware of the game. I was aware of the blonde headed guy with the thumbs up and all that stuff, but I didn't know that much about it. I thought it was great. I watched the first episode.
I get that in BioShock. Are they related? I get those two things confused.
And then I watched the second episode and I wanted to watch the third one. I was like, man, you need to go to bed.
Oh, so you've got like a show that you're excited to get home and watch.
I'm excited to get home and watch tonight.
They put out the whole season.
All
is
eight
it on
hours
Amazon
or something. Amazon Prime.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I watched that Mormon thing on HBO or Max.
Mormon?
Yeah, the thing about, remember in the news a few years back when they talked about that there was American people living in Mexico and they were Mormons. And they were traveling to a wedding, and they got ambushed by the cartel, and they shot a bunch of they shot mothers and children and burned the car. We talked about it on the news at the time because our big thing at the time was, why were they in Mexico? I think we thought when the story broke that Americans had traveled to Mexico for a wedding.
Okay.
That's what it seemed like at first. And then we started to get more details on the story and found out that they lived there. You're like, okay, so why do they live there? How many people live there? And then we found out that there's a lot of them that live there. They've lived there for like a long time. Like,
okay.
I don't know, maybe their grandparents were the ones who set up roots there. I don't know. And there was this big debate about what the United States should do. And as I recall, you said like nothing, which is kind of how I felt because it was like it happened in Mexico, right?
Right.
And people were like, but it happened to American citizens. And it's like, yeah, but it wasn't. First of all, it wasn't like Mexican. I don't think they were saying at the time in the news that it was Mexican government authorities that killed these Americans. And also, these Americans were living there. It'd be different if they came across the border. Trump had said at the time, like, when they asked Trump about it, he's like, well, I offered to go down there. I offered Mexico to go down there and clean everything up, get rid of all the cartels and everything. Like, yeah, I'll bet you did. And he's like, you know, they don't want my help. But I never really got the follow-up on that story. That story just became... it's like a docuseries.
On HBO?
On Max, yeah. I assume it's an HBO thing, but I'm actually not positive. I know it says Max original at the beginning, but frustratingly, you get to the end of the second episode, and it's like, oh, next week. Ugh.
Mm.
So I thought that it was all out, but it's not.
Well, you can watch Fallout. Do you have Amazon Prime still?
I still have that. I can watch Fallout. I use Brooks Prime. I did watch the O.J. Simpson 30 for 30 because they were advertising heavily. Yeah. It was on Netflix, but the ESPN thing. I had thought maybe I'd seen that before, but I definitely had not. It's super long,
but
super interesting.
You should watch Fallout.
I'll watch it. Right. I'll watch it. But with all this stuff about OJ and the funeral and all this stuff going on, and I know you don't think that he did it. You think his son did it. And, you know, it's interesting. I honestly kind of wish that we were watching it together. Because as it goes, there's times I just wanted to turn to Laszlo and be like, so what about, like, what do you think about that part? What do you think about that? I mean, because, you know, there were documented episodes of him beating up Nicole at different times where she took photos of it.
Yeah.
And at one point, I mean, there's recordings of this where she has the cops come out to the house and they write this report because she says, he's going to kill me. He is going to kill me. And it's like, well, that doesn't, you know, look great for him. But I'm sure you're aware of all those
things. I'm
not
saying he's a good guy.
No, I know.
None of that makes him a murderer.
I know. I just, it's,
you punch me one day, doesn't make you a murderer.
No, but the, you know, he seemed to have that controlling.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a good guy, was a good husband, or even someone that you'd like to date.
Yeah. He boy, before the scandals, though, quite a life, you know? And look, the guy was found not guilty. In a court of law,
yes.
By a jury of his peers. So now that doesn't mean that he didn't do it, but it does mean that legally he's not a murderer.
Right.
Right.
Of course.
So we should, I think, give him the benefit of the doubt, even if you think you know beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it. Still, he's got a lot of family members. He passed away this week.
He was acquitted.
And he's got his funeral. And one of the things I thought was interesting that I read last night, and maybe you saw this, but did you know that OJ recently, in a couple of different interviews, at least one interview, I think it was two different interviews, was talking to a reporter about memory problems and issues that he was having mentally. And he was having trouble remembering, like, players' names that he'd played with. And talked about how sometimes his short-term memory was just gone and it really was scary. Right. And then he thought he had CTE. And so it was a whole thing. I read the excerpts from this interview where he's talking about how he thinks he might have had CTE and how scary it is. And his family has said, so
they want to have him tested.
Yeah, scientists are like, please, you know, can we look at his brain? And they say, no, absolutely not. And they asked them, I guess, a second time, and the family was like, no, we're cremating him, that's it. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Do you think it's because, I know some people are weird about loved ones, like, being autopsied or...
I would think at this point they just want the story, like, hey, we loved him. They seem to have stuck by him to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need a story dragging on 5, 10, 15 more years where you talk about his brain and what was wrong with it. I would think, like, he died, just let it go.
Yeah, I wondered if it had something to do with it. If they said he had severe CTE, then would that add to the public's perception that he must have been guilty?
And then would the discussion keep going on, right, about what OJ did? They're probably like, look, he died.
Yeah.
I think that might be how I feel.
I don't know exactly what's gained because I'm not a scientist, so I don't know what's gained from them saying, yeah, he definitely had it and he had it bad. Well, we know that CTE exists. You've already told us that.
I think it just keeps the dialogue going.
Yeah.
And probably his family would rather the dialogue stop.
Yeah, yeah.
I would think.
We were too young to have watched him play football. That was before our time, really.
Right.
But we're aware of how great he was.
I've seen video of him. It's unbelievable.
And
might be the best football player to ever put on cleats.
He was the most unique looking running back, the way that he ran. I heard someone talking about the way that he took these baby side steps. I mean, he did kind of glide until he would do those breakaways.
Yeah.
I did not know that OJ was like a record breaking sprinter in track.
He was fast. And
I mean, I figured he's fast, but I didn't know he
was that
fast.
He ran over 2,000 yards in 14 games. Guys get more games than that now.
That's crazy. Those stats are absolutely incredible. I did not know that
his
first couple years in Buffalo that he struggled so much. Mm. I didn't know that he had bad years when he started, but they blamed it all on the coach and then said once things got going, did they get going?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was a great football player, and then, you know, he becomes an actor.
Great actor.
Right. And
great sideline reporter.
And as an endorser.
He was... I mean, it's hard to put someone in that category, but he was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. Like,
yes.
You would say, like, I can remember my dad saying, and my dad, who never watched a full sports game in his life, if we were late at the airport to be like, man, we got to pull an OJ.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, you know, we got to run. We got to hurry. My dad would say that all the time if we were running late for something.
Yeah.
We got to pull an OJ.
They said
you know?
He was the first black first of all, they said he was one of the first celebrity endorsers, like an athlete to endorse something. That was not really a huge thing yet. But that he was the first black celebrity endorser for the, you know, these big American companies, because he endorsed Chevrolet. He went on, of course, to famously do Hertz, Rent-A-Car, like Honey Bay Tam, and a bunch of things. But they said that he was the first.
He may be the first black athlete or other to endorse products on a national level.
I think they might have said that.
I think they said
he was the first.
And, you know, and the certainly the first one that white people accepted.
Right. Well, that's a huge part of it.
Right.
It's
and I'm trying to think before him, but I certainly think he's the first African-American to go on and endorse major corporations nationally.
Yes.
That, I mean, and so, you know, people loved O.J. Like,
they
it's hard
loved him.
To put into place how much people loved O.J.
Yeah, I'm sure, there's no one really an athlete
because
you can compare
him to. A lot of that was before when we were born.
Right. And so,
or at least when we were young, you know, like too young to know. But going back and, you know, reading about it and learning about it, it's fascinating, right?
I mean, I knew he was a huge celebrity.
I mean, Jay-Z quoted it, but he did say it. I'm not black. I'm
O.J. Right. Which was a, you know, controversial thing that people still debate.
Right.
To this day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're interested in that, you can watch the old 30 for 30 that they're promoting now. But I think it's interesting when they lift the veil and talk about those endorsements. And they were saying that you could have an endorsement that is basically what I think they called like a black endorsement, which meant that you have the black endorser. And then you might also have it's targeting the black community, basically, is what those, you know, that's what they were referring to as like a black endorsement. But with OJ, because he was going to be the spokesperson, that they specifically made sure that, like in those Hertz commercials, that everyone around him was white. And not only was everyone around him in those airports and everything else white, they said, go, OJ, go, because they were worried about the visual of a black guy running through the airport.
Oh, right.
And how that would actually be received. It was like, you know, everyone loves OJ. We'll show this little old white lady saying, go, OJ, go, these little white Girl Scouts saying, go, OJ, go. And because it's all white people in the airport, then people know it's not an endorsement targeting the black community.
Right.
Because otherwise, they would have up till then assumed that it was, because that's how those things were sort of separated.
Right.
That stuff fascinates me with how they, you know, the history of it is fascinating. Then also just how they decide to advertise things and how people respond to different ads. How we, you know, subconsciously respond to advertising. But he was a huge celebrity endorser, and he was really good at it. Like, really, really good at it. And he was just...
He was Jordan before Jordan.
He was good at being a celebrity. I mean,
and Jordan walked those lines too. You know, if you go back and watch, you know, the Jordan documentary, like, you know, they talk about it where they're like, you know, you never, you know, talked about political things. He's like, Republicans and Democrats both buy shoes. Like, you know, people from both sides of the aisle loved OJ, and people from both sides of the aisle loved Michael Jordan. That there was, they transcended it.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I watched that documentary last night, but it almost felt like OJ in his day was a little bigger in some ways than Jordan, just with his level, because of the movies and the TV shows. You know, he's doing daytime TV shows and all that stuff.
Yeah,
he was such a huge celebrity, but maybe
there's
just because he was
really
first
to compare him to. Maybe Michael Strahan now. Maybe Michael Strahan, but he doesn't have the movies.
No, and
but OJ, I think Strahan has a morning TV show.
He's on Good Morning America.
Right. I mean, that's pretty big.
It is, but how
maybe,
but the name recognition isn't even close to OJ, right? If you
but
ask
still,
Americans,
like in a modern day society, maybe Michael Strahan comes close. Maybe, I mean, if you go to certain places, you can see Michael Strahan's shirts and clothes, and people like Michael Strahan.
Yeah, they do like him.
But I'm not saying he's as big as OJ, but he's as close as we've gotten in a long time.
Which kind of shows you how, in a league of his own, OJ was.
Right.
I mean, the guy quit playing football because he was so focused on his acting career.
Right, yeah.
And he also just wanted to get out of Buffalo, they said, but he wanted to act, and he already had a taste of it. And they, you know, they interview a director who directed one of the movies he was in, and the director said that they forced OJ on him. He didn't want him. He was like, there were other black actors that had paid their dues that I thought were better. I'd seen OJ's previous work, didn't think he was great. But he said once he worked with him, he was shocked at how good he was. You know,
right,
that he was so diligent about wanting to be the best at every single thing he did. It's that thing that we talk about, that thing that we, you know, lack. That some people just have that drive to be the absolute best. And that debate about whether
and
or not...
And he was on, I mean, he was on really successful, funny movies and held his own with what people thought were the greatest comedians of the time.
Yeah, and he was
in those movies. He held his own.
Yeah,
and some people would say stole the show.
Yeah, and in big,
and then on the sidelines,
non-comedies
too, and NFL reporting. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was good at it. And that idea of now that I'm done with this, I'll go do things on television. Mm-hmm. I don't know how common that was. I know that you had a couple probably. You had what's his name, the Jets quarterback. Jesus Christ,
can't think Joe Namath.
Didn't Namath have a
Gifford.
Show? Yeah, and I don't know when Frank Gifford started doing that stuff.
Me neither.
If it was before or after.
I mean, Frank Gifford was well before our time. I didn't know Frank Gifford played football until he mentioned it while he was doing a game. I was like, really?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, as a kid, when you see those people and then they start talking about their game, you're like, oh, wait, I'll be honest, like Collinsworth at first.
Right.
When I played, I'm like, where did you play?
Yeah.
You played football? Like, what? Yeah, and of course now I know, and mm-hmm. he's been around longer, but yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I was looking into it. OJ's funeral is, you know, being prepared, and his children are, seems to be that his children all, you know, he had children with his first wife and then with his second wife, but it seems as though those children did at least make appearances. Okay. Some of them were by his side when he died, a couple of them. I don't recall which ones. And then it looks like the other ones maybe showed up at some point. So I don't see anywhere where they said these kids have said, we're not going to the funeral or we disowned him. Like his first wife, I guess no one knows where she is. She's gone. She's laid totally low. So the press has no idea where she's at. And those kids, the press doesn't know much about. And I thought, imagine the best they can tell is that his son with his first wife is like a chef in Atlanta.
I just
thought, imagine that. Imagine trying to, you know, hide from that. Not because you think he murdered someone or whatever. I don't know what he thinks, but just because. You know that people did. You just don't want to be associated with it. You're not trying to be OJ's son. That's got to be hard, especially in the age of the internet. Now, maybe before social media and all that, you could move somewhere.
I'd have to go back and look it up. I think the chef in Atlanta is the one who came running to the car.
I think that's Jason, yes.
Yeah,
that's one that you think did it. Yeah. Well,
he was a chef in L.A. at the time.
Oh, he was? I thought he was young when it happened.
No, he worked at a restaurant.
Okay.
He didn't check out on his time card.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I guess they talk about it. So anyway, you know, my thing is the guy was acquitted. So
he was
because he was such a beloved athlete and celebrity and movie star and all these things. Are we allowed to say, you know, hey, OJ's funeral is this week and he was a huge, huge celebrity and
people
really
know
liked
both
him
and have made their decision. I don't think we need to rehash the.
Right. It's interesting how the media does it, though, because the media cannot talk about it this week without saying accused murderer. Who's most known for being an accused murderer. Right. And it's like, exactly, they never say acquitted. And you keep saying
acquitted murderer.
Most known for. Well, he was pretty well known for.
Well, he was an accused murderer, I guess.
He was, sure.
But you should say he was an acquitted murderer.
Yeah. If you're going to, you know, but you delete it every time.
Right, yeah.
You can say, like, who was also famously, but... That's just how he's talked about. I think the media feels like they have to.
Because they don't, they'll catch some trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming or going on a business trip, you've got no time to waste. And nobody knows that better than Hertz. Whether it's picking up or dropping off your Ford or other fine car, nobody has more to do it faster.
Go, OJ, go!
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Well, some guy has a really
just talking
cool
baseball
job.
On Twitch.
Yeah,
I wonder how many people just bores out. They're like, "You gotta be kidding me, man! We're talking about Ricky Henderson."
I think they like your passion.
That's it.
You know, it's like
there's always like two people on the Twitch.tv/ChurchLaszlo who are into it, and everybody else is like, "What? Why am I here?"
I think they probably enjoy your passion.
Okay,
like remember when Dane Cook was real popular?
Yeah,
I never thought he was overly funny, but I could see why he was so popular because I kept he kept me. It kept my attention because of his ability to tell a story. He was good at it. I feel like you're a good storyteller, and you also are very passionate about baseball. So, and we pick up something along the way. I actually overheard you talking to Twitch about something earlier, and I missed a piece of it, and I wanted to ask you, and I don't remember.
Oh, really?
Something you were just talking about baseball. You said somebody said something about that it sounded like it was recent. And I was like, I'm going to remember to ask Lazo, and I already forgot. So somebody has the job.
P. Green Pilgrim says it beats the WNBA talk. That.
We didn't talk WNBA. We talked NCAA women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've gotten into the...
I'm just saying.
Now, we will once she's signed.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't know. I don't know where she's headed.
I will watch her in the WNBA.
I think a lot of people
I'll turn
will.
On a game when it's on to see if she dominates. Because I heard people say... Yeah, we don't have to talk too much about it. But I heard people say, like, oh, she, you know, once she meets these, once she starts to play with these other players, I'm like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you that the women in the WNBA are that much better than Caitlin Clark. Don't believe it.
I didn't know people were saying
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a coach, somebody who was controversy. Like, once she gets here and plays with these pros, I'm like, okay.
But didn't those pros play when they were her age,
too? Well,
yeah,
but that's the same thing they would say about a college guy coming out for men's basketball.
Okay.
They'd be like, wait till he gets to the pros, and he has to try to, you know, post up against whoever.
But when they're really, really good and people are excited about it, a lot of times those guys are pretty damn good. I mean, we watched Kevin Durant as a rookie, and he seemed pretty damn good to me.
He was pretty
good.
Also,
Caitlin Clark, the way she dominated, I would think
that's what I think. I think she's going to go in there. But I don't think they – I think they're trying to say she's not going to get to the NBA and dominate right away. And, you know, no, rarely do people do that. I think she's going to dominate. I think she's going to be the best player on the court every time she steps out on the court.
I would assume so. I'm curious how much money the WNBA makes, like what the biggest team is, the most profitable. Are they all profitable? I don't know. I don't really don't know much about the WNBA. I don't see it on TV all that often. Will we start to see it on TV more because of this interest that Caitlin Clark has generated?
I mean, if they get more ratings like they did, you will. I mean, I've always said that about women's sports. Like, you have the power.
Yeah.
Women, if you really want to rally around the WNBA, turn it on your TV.
Yeah.
If you do that, it'll be on more. Like, it's that easy. Like, there's no... I know you want to blame, you know, all these other outside factors or whatever, right? You know, men and the patriarchy and all this stuff. Watch WNBA, and it'll get bigger. Go to the games, and it'll get bigger. That's absolutely the way that it works.
Yeah.
Because I've been in this industry, broadcasting to some degree, for too long to not realize that the only thing that matters is money.
Yep.
And if they can charge more for advertising, they will put it on TV, and they will charge more for advertising. It's it's not any other way.
Yeah.
So go watch the games.
The only reason they're not showing the games now is because
nobody watches.
You know, the infomercial paid more to show their new air fryer or whatever
nobody
it
watches.
Is. So,
and I can tell you, it's like, I use this example all the time. It's like Wimbledon. Nobody watches Wimbledon. Literally no
you
one.
You taught me that. I didn't ever know.
No one watches. Their ratings are horrible, horrifying, really bad. They get like 0.2.
Mm-hmm.
But the 0.2 of the people who watch Wimbledon are rich as hell.
Yeah.
So who do you see advertised at Wimbledon? Just Rolex everywhere. Yeah. BMW, Jaguar. That's all that's there. So they really, the TV company says, hey, look, we don't get a lot of people watching this, but the people who do watch it could buy a Rolex. And Rolex is like, yeah, we don't advertise. Well, we could advertise on Wimbledon. How much are those people making? They're like, here's all the data. And they're like,
okay.
Okay.
Only need a handful.
Right, yeah.
There's only a handful of people that can afford our products anyway.
We're not going to advertise. Like, Rolex ain't going to advertise on this show.
Right, no. No need.
Right.
No need. Now, a knockoff company, you know.
Right.
We'll keep that down, though. But yeah, absolutely. I assume golf is the same way.
Right.
I see a lot of those sponsors on
higher end, you know. Yeah.
I don't know how many people are watching this. Probably more, maybe more than Wimbledon. I shouldn't say probably. Maybe more. I don't know. But
there are more, but, you know, the point still stands.
Yeah. It's wealthy.
A lot of golf is self sustaining too. If you see a lot of the, because you have a lot of guys who watch it and a lot of guys who golf who watch it, so therefore, like, if you watch baseball, chances are you don't play baseball.
Right
If you watch basketball, chances are you're not playing basketball.
Right
If you watch golf, chances are you go out on the weekends and play golf. So you see advertised for hats, clothes, golf clubs, all that stuff, like, so that they can that is a sport that can also almost self-finance, right?
I never thought of that.
Because the guys should go, like, they're like, hey, let's watch the Masters and then go play.
Yeah.
And I should buy these clubs that were advertised me while I watch this sport, which I also currently play.
Yeah.
Right? It's like fishing shows. What are fishing shows? What do they advertise?
They're advertising.
Boats, fishing rigs, same thing. Those two sports can just self-finance.
I never thought of that before.
Yeah, well,
because if you play basketball, you might play basketball at the gym or baseball at the rec center or whatever, but you're not going out and buying a new bat.
No,
new
right.
You don't care.
Mm-mm.
But if you're playing golf,
you're buying new balls all the time.
Yeah.
You buy new golf clubs.
Yeah, you want nice golf clubs.
Right,
you
sure.
want nice stuff.
Looking for courses to go to.
Yeah.
People plan vacations around it.
Yep.
That's the same with fishing.
Yep. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the WNBA. When they talk about her, like, how much money she'll make, and then will this transcend? Because, Lazo, you said, you know, women, you've always said, if you watch it,
you control
it. But I think one of the things about Caitlin Clark was it wasn't just women that were watching her. She got guys to watch, too.
Oh, yeah, so, I agree.
So that's, I think, a real watershed moment for, you know, you want to say basketball, but I really think for women's sports in general.
We watch them.
A lot of people, the fact that more people watch that game than the men's is... It's important. It's big.
First pick in the 2024 WNBA draft. The Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo! What's going on?
We're doing the news, my man.
All right.
I know you're very interested in the American Psychological Association, or whatever the hell it's called.
Just not interested. I started it.
I thought that there was some connection there, that your grandfather or something laid the groundwork,
well,
and then you actually officially got it
off
the ground.
Well, he passed on to me, and then I took it, you know, where it needed to go.
And I know you do a lot of philanthropic work, but this is like, you know,
it's a big thing for me.
The lion's share.
The first thing we did was close mental hospitals, and not necessary.
Right, exactly. Right. Not necessary, just, you know.
A lot of online stuff.
Right. There's no need to be indoors.
I need you to go
outdoors. Yeah. Go ahead and live outside, you know.
Right. If you got an issue, just text me. Like, you know, we have counselors standing by.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go ahead, text me. Works just the same.
We'll talk over the text. Sure. Am I a real person? Well, you know, as real as that car salesman when you go to look at that used car on cars.com. Yeah, give me a text. So the American Psychological, whatever the hell it's called, they put out, they did a study and they put out this thing. And, of course, the media loves it. They said, well, this is it. Our findings show that social media is made for adults and that kids should not be using it without some more safeguards. They need to change the way social media works because it is hurting kids. And, you know, the thing that we've heard from some people already, like, are we going to look back on social media, like giving kids alcohol or cigarettes and go, oh, I can't believe that we let kids have it. They seem to think that we are and that it's bad for kids.
The American Psychological Association demanding change from social media platforms and head-turning report detailing what it says are psychological threats to young people. The highly respected group writing in part, platforms built for adults are not inherently suitable for youth. Youth require special protection. The APA calling out features like endless scrolling, likes and follower counts, and push notifications that it says capitalizes on developing brains that are more sensitive to impulses, social feedback, and distraction. More than half of teens reported at least one symptom of clinical dependency on social media.
Clinical dependency.
Speaking about that. I know, you know, likes and whatever. People are like, whatever. But seriously, if you could find me on Instagram at LazloTheBuzz and on X and just follow me, because the total number of followers does make me feel better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like to look at anybody else and see them with a higher follower count.
Especially if it's someone you know.
It hurts my feelings. Oh, yeah. Well, like, of course, if it's, you know,
someone trying to do the same job.
Right. You know, I don't know. You know,
we don't have to call them out by name.
It's a celebrity. If it's Taylor Swift or Travis Kelce,
sure,
I'm not worried about
it.
You know, someone who's, I don't like seeing people have more followers than me. Really hurts my feelings. So, seriously, again, at LazloTheBuzz, if you could follow me on Instagram and on X, that would mean a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes everybody feel good. And, you know, I would just add to that, I think Lazo's okay with it, but for mine, you know, just don't say mean things.
You can say mean things to me. That doesn't matter. It'll be nice to Slim.
Yeah.
It hurts his feelings.
Yeah,
a little,
you know,
little baby feelings.
Makes me not want to go look at it anymore if you're just going to be mean. You're just meanie cabrini
little
over
baby
here.
Baby feelings.
Hurting my feelings. Nebraska, you were just there.
I actually like it. I like Lincoln, Nebraska.
What was the purpose of the trip? To see if maybe it was a baseball thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we go to see
like
a baseball thing all the time.
And you thought you'd see college baseball.
Well, we didn't have time because of everybody's schedules. So, you know, within driving distance, we just drove to Lincoln and went to Lincoln and then went somewhere else too. I forget now, though.
Yeah, I thought you went to Omaha.
Yeah, and saw Creighton.
Creighton, yeah. So what was the original purpose of that trip, though? Did the boys, was it just a road trip, or did they have
just rush time, okay, you know, like, okay, because, you know, they have such a busy schedule with school and sports and everything else and theater and, like, you know, I just remember my dad always saying, you know, you got to get away. You got to just leave and not worry about sports and work and bills. And, you know, you don't have to be rich to do that. You know what I mean? Like, save a few $100 and go to a couple towns over and go to a hotel room, right? Yeah. Not everybody has to vacation in the Hamptons.
No. That's why I think somebody likes to camp or go
to my dad had money, sometimes we went to nice places. When he didn't, you know, we went up north.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was just like, you know, we got to get out of here where we can just, you know, hang out and be friends. So we went to Lincoln.
Well, while you were there.
And I enjoyed it.
Did you meet any hot teachers while you were there? Any women that you approached or they approached you? And then you said, no, what do you do? Oh, I'm a teacher or a substitute teacher, maybe?
I remember.
Didn't meet any while you were up there.
I didn't.
Well, too bad. Though. You missed a golden opportunity. Cause
that lady's hot, isn't she?
She's a hot substitute teacher.
She's super hot.
I don't know that she's still a teacher. I guess probably a former teacher. A Nebraska teacher caught naked in a car with a teenage student. I will just let this news clip play for you. I don't think I could do it justice better than this.
The Douglas County Sheriff's Office says it found this substitute teacher in the back seat of an SUV with a student this morning. Deputies say they were called to a suspicious vehicle parked near 189th and Allied Street just before 3 a.m. According to the Sheriff's Office, they saw 45-year-old Aaron Ward in the back seat with the teenager. Deputies say the 17-year-old got into the driver's seat and he crashed the SUV into a yard two blocks away before running away with no clothes. Deputies say when they got to the SUV, Ward was putting her clothes on in the back seat. The sheriff's office says Ward admitted to being a substitute teacher at OPS Burke High School and to having sex with the teen. She also said the boy is a student at the school. That student was found an hour later in a neighborhood wearing only boxers, a shirt, and socks. He was taken to a safe place to be interviewed. Now faces one count of felony sexual abuse by a school employee.
Seems like the safer place would have been left alone. Without all this embarrassment, because obviously he's running.
I thought he was only 17, man.
Right.
But, like, we took him to a safe place to make sure that he was okay. Like, he was in his car.
Yeah.
He was good.
Substitute teacher. 45, you know, a lot of times when we see these stories, the teachers are young. Sometimes they're so young, they're only a few years age difference.
And then sometimes we're like, throw the book at them when they're old and ugly.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, 45 could go either way.
Old bitch.
It could go either way, right. You know, depending on the picture.
There's
that
one lady, I was like, ah!
Right. You traumatized that poor boy.
Mississippi or something like that. That'll never be the same.
It's from the South, yeah. Yeah, you traumatized that kid.
She was like, partly balding?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It doesn't need to be his first
You leave
experience.
That for men. You leave that for men who know what they're getting into.
Or something with
They've
batteries.
Had too much, too much to drink. They know what's going on. You don't do that to a child.
Well, I wonder what the...
But that lady, she was hot.
I wonder what the age of consent is in Nebraska.
That was my thing, too, because they said they charged her with sex with a minor
as a teacher.
Yeah. So that, to me, told me
that
it wasn't just right. It wasn't just statutory rape.
I'm surprised that more states don't
have...
Well,
or else they would say statutory rape. There's that extra where they go, charged as sex with a minor as a teacher.
Right.
That tells me the age...
The rule she broke was being a teacher.
It was legal, except for the fact that she was a teacher.
Yeah. According to this website, ageofconsent.info, which I bookmarked, it says that Nebraska's legal age of consent for sexual contact is 17 years old.
It was legal with the exception that she was a teacher.
Right. Just with all the stories...
What is it in Kansas?
They've changed them. Hold on. Let me just check here. Because I don't want to give bad info. I mean, God, that could be, you know, unfortunate for someone. Kansas legal age of consent for sexual contact is 16 years old. There are a total of 31 states that have set their age of consent at 16, the lowest age of consent in any state. So, you know, don't get in your car and start driving thinking you're going to find a lower age of consent somewhere if you get caught with a student. Who's 15? It's not going to happen if you're in Kansas. It's
already, you gotta be 16, Kansas.
Already as low as it goes. And then Missouri, the age of consent is 17 years old. Huh. It's always weird, too, that they have the different rules for marriage and that a parent can marry off their child, you know, with the parent's permission. It's like, wait, but
in Missouri, you can give your kid booze?
Yeah, I think in several states you can do that. But I know in Missouri, yes, if a parent or adult. But it's this very vague kind of rule because it's like within reason. So like if you're, I guess for church services, obviously you can give
but can you give them like booze?
You can give them a beer.
I just thought you could do that anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like I thought, I didn't, and I'm guessing no one would arrest you if you let your kid have a glass of wine at Thanksgiving.
Right.
But
for it to be actually legal.
To get drunk on a Thursday, if you're like, hey, I'm just splitting beers with my dad.
Yeah.
I thought that might be illegal, but apparently not.
I think if they get intoxicated, I have to go back. I've looked at that law. Actually, there's a whole Wikipedia page. I'm sure there's one for every state.
The way I understood, it's like
a reasonable
amount. A sip of beer or at the most like a glass of wine.
It says that you can give them alcohol.
That would be legal everywhere.
Okay.
Like, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I thought, like...
A sip of beer is legal everywhere.
Yeah, that's everywhere. A glass of wine with dinner at home on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
That's legal. So I don't understand why you would make this extra law unless it was like, hey, if I want to watch the game at home in my living room with my 16-year-old kid and pound back a couple of beers, that's nobody's business but ours. That's what that law felt like to me, but I could be wrong.
So there's the... And I don't know how accurate this website is either, but it's breaking it down by states alphabetically, and it talks about how there are minimum, you know, ages obviously for drinking, but some states have exceptions. And just that, you know, first state on here, Alabama, it's 21. There's no exceptions. So if I scroll down here, let's find Missouri, and I know they have their own Wikipedia that just talks about alcohol laws in Missouri. But go down here to Missouri. It's always farther than I think. Okay, it's 21 with the following exceptions. The provisions of this section shall not apply to a student who, one, is 18 years of age or older, is enrolled in an accredited college or university, and is a student or in a culinary course, is required to taste but not consume any beer, ale, porter, wine, blah, 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 similar beverage. Taste a beverage under the subdivision of this subsection. Okay, this is way too legalese for me. The point is, I know that there are quite
but
a few
Missouri,
states where they say
legally. But
in Missouri,
I have a 16-year-old kid, like, yo, come over, or come over, you live here, sit on the couch and let's pound a 12-pack and watch the Chiefs game.
I don't think they're supposed to get inebriated because of the way that the law is written, but I'll have to find that again because it talks about, like, within...
Not that I would do that. Yeah. I don't think you should do that with your kid. I'm not saying if you do it. I'm never a guy who's going to judge anybody else's parenting because we don't have any proof until we figure out how they turned out.
Yeah.
But I'm not the kind of guy who's going to get my kid hammered in front of me.
Right.
I'm just not.
Right.
Know?
Well...
I'm never going to smoke pot with my kids.
I don't remember anybody.
I know some people smoke. Look, and it's weird for me just because I'm older than you. So I think there are parents who will get high with their kids when their kids are 25 or whatever. And it's totally normal because it's legal.
Yeah.
It was just illegal for so long for me that it would make me feel weird. Plus, I don't get high. So.
Right. That kind of.
But I am the kind of guy that when my kid turns 21, not on his 21st birthday, I'm hoping he's with his buddies. But, you know, I will buy him a beer.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get hammered with my son, no matter how old he is.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia...
When he's 40, I ain't getting hammered with him.
Still?
No, I mean, yeah. I may have a couple beers with him. I'm not going to be like, yo,
yeah,
let's fire this up. That just ain't me. I mean, maybe an accident, but right now, like, the idea will not be there.
Okay, so it says Missouri is... this is Wikipedia. Missouri is one of six states with a unique exception that allows a minor to...
Poncho says he's having shots with his five-year-old now. Lives in Missouri.
Well, you're...
Hey, you know what gets him to sleep? Makes him sleep.
Because it is one of six states with a unique exception that allows minors to be furnished alcohol by their parent or legal guardian. Of course, if a parent or guardian purposefully intoxicates their child, it would be a form of child abuse. Rather,
purposefully.
Yeah, this sort of law allows parents to let their children have small amounts of liquor with a meal at social gatherings, in religious services, or otherwise use alcohol in moderation.
Okay, so they can, if like you're having a Super Bowl party, you can have a couple beers.
Yeah, I think so. Additionally,
yeah, like you can't get them hammered.
Right, that seems to be where they draw the line.
But if you want to have a couple beers with your dad and his buddies and watch a Royals game, you can. Now, the question then becomes... Can I buy, and again, I'm not going to, but I've always found this so interesting. Can I, if I go to a Royals game, and it's in Missouri for the time being until it comes over to the Kansas side, which I'm very excited about, but for the time being, if I go to a Royals game, can I buy my kid a beer? Like, I go with my two kids, 16 and 13, can I buy them both? Can we all have one big tall boy each?
Now, that's a good question.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I think I'd get in trouble.
I could see
but
the league or the team having a policy against it, but is it against the law?
I mean, my sister has a 16-year-old. We're on the same age as your kids, mm-hmm. and they live in Missouri, or Illinois, but right across from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll, you know, if they're out at, like, an event or family thing, she'll buy a drink and, you know, kind of sneak it to them. And
yeah,
it's just kind of kept, you know.
I could have sworn one of the things
I'm totally
said
fine
it had
with
to
that.
Be at
There's
home.
Times when we were... Well, they don't golf anymore, but there's times, you know, a couple of years ago we were out golfing, we were just super hot, and I had a Coors Light, and I was like, dude, if you want a sip of this, it's fine, right? I wouldn't necessarily give it to the younger one, but the older one was fine. It happens all the time. My grandpa used to give me sips of Miller High Life. I don't think it's a big deal. My question is, could she take them to a Royals game and buy them their own beer?
Right, like with them standing there at the counter.
Yeah, like, hey, I need...
Like this one's for him.
I need three beers.
Right, and there's three of us. Right,
right. Nobody's getting drunk. We need three Coors Lights.
Right.
And then we're going to go to our seats. Like... Is that legal in Missouri? Because that sounds fascinating to me. I wouldn't do it again. But it sounds right. fascinating to me, and I could see why parents would do it.
I mean, at a restaurant.
If you had, like, if you had two 18-year-olds, mm-hmm. and you took them to a Royals game, like, hey, I'll buy you guys a couple Coors Lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That would not
or like
absurd.
At a Chili's or right. wherever. Could you do that? I thought that when I'd read this originally that it did say something about being at home, but this one does not say anything about being at home. I know that there is a really weird loophole in Missouri that really doesn't make sense, and it's not the only state. But so there, it's if you're a minor in possession of alcohol, that's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
There's a law on the books about that. But there is no law in Missouri and a few other states that prohibits the basically use of alcohol by minors. So if you're a minor and you're drinking alcohol, I guess this would be like the only scenario. That's what I'm saying. The only way I could think of this is like if someone came up and said, here, you know, drink some of this, that you're not breaking the law. But why else would you need a specific law that says, oh, yeah, you can't be in possession of it. You also cannot consume it without your parents' permission under 21. To me, if you can't possess it, then I'm trying to think of this, you know, loophole where you would be drinking it and not in possession of it. Now, maybe it's just because
you're sucking it out of Julia's fingers
and you've had something to drink, you know, and they're like, oh, well, we can tell that you smell like alcohol. Well, so what?
Well, possession isn't if you ate it, though.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
so,
right, I mean,
so maybe that's when. Maybe if a cop was like, you smell like alcohol. Yeah, but I don't have anything on me.
Yeah,
so they can't run a breathalyzer and say, well, but you had alcohol. Doesn't matter.
But I think
maybe
that's
where the loophole comes in.
But
play.
I think that's under illegal search and seizure anyway. So
yeah. So maybe that's the only way. It's like for years and years, there was no minimum age to smoke cigarettes. You had to be a certain
right.
age to buy them.
Yeah.
But the only person that got in trouble in that scenario was the person selling the cigarettes.
Right.
If your parents bought you cigarettes or if someone else bought them for you, you were allowed to smoke. They didn't
right.
change that until I was, I think, out of high school. So the rule about
when
drinking
I was a kid,
at a
my
restaurant,
grandmother
I don't
used
know.
To send me to the gas station to buy her cigarettes.
Yeah,
I've
heard
happened.
Stories of people
like, I know it sounds
that.
Like old timey.
Yeah.
Wasn't that long ago.
No,
like, it literally wasn't that long ago. Like, from anyone can buy cigarettes and we don't care to they're $10 a pack and no one can smoke. That was quick.
Yeah.
It was quick.
Yeah. And now it's 21. So
right.
I wonder how long it's been 21 now. There's probably people in their 20s, you know, or at least early 20s.
Yeah, Poncho says he used to buy cigarettes for his mom. She would write a check. It was not that long ago. We're talking 20 years ago.
Wasn't that big of a deal. Mm-mm, they didn't. And you said, and you'll see it in movies, too.
Yeah, for my mom.
Sometimes they'll ask, why are you smoking? It's like, it's for my
right.
parents. Oh, okay, here you go.
Well, and then if we wanted to buy our own, we just had to buy it. You couldn't go and buy Marlboros. Because the guy would look at you weird. So you'd be like, hey, I need a pair of Chesterfield lights.
Okay.
And the guy'd be like, I'm like, I don't know, for my grandma?
Okay.
He'd be like, Chesterfield
cool.
light
yeah.
100s.
Nothing that a teen
and then he'd be
like.
Okay. Like, clearly because this kid is not smoking right. Chesterfield.
Right.
Like,
the Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. All right. We're finishing the news here. So, Taylor Swift. She's famous,
yeah.
right? And
she is.
And Courtney Love. We like her.
I do.
She's famous, too. She's not as famous as Taylor Swift.
No.
But she's famous. And I mentioned earlier that this whole story kind of reminds me of the Scorsese not liking superhero movies thing. I mean, if I asked you a week ago, what do you think Courtney Love thinks of Taylor Swift, what would you have said a week ago? You probably would have said...
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know if she thinks about her much.
Right.
Probably doesn't listen to it. But I also would not have been shocked if Courtney Love had come out and said, I dig Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been shocking to me.
That
That's
stuff.
The thing.
You get that stuff from rock stars sometimes.
Sure.
They talk about a pop star that they really love.
Oh, yeah, that guy from Disturbed. I heard like they
oh,
had
yeah, that's
Taylor
right.
Swift.
That's right, yeah.
And he was saying like how great she is.
Yeah, on
Dave
stage.
Dave Grohl and Billie
yeah,
Eilish.
Because she actually writes
He's
her
like,
music.
She's the best thing I've heard in 20 years.
Yeah. And she does it all herself.
Oh, yeah, and she writes her music. That's what that guy was
that's
saying. That's right.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you don't make fun of her. She writes her own music. She's cool.
Like, whatever, put your mask back on.
That's Slipknot, right?
I don't know. They're all the same.
I just for a second there, I was like,
Taylor
oh boy.
Swift should be like, whatever.
Oh boy, does
put your
Disturbed
mask
wear mask? Like, I don't need your support.
I need you defending me, okay?
Right. Well,
snorkel or whatever you call yourself.
Well, the evening.
Are they the guys with the big noses, snorkel noses,
That's
and masks?
I thought that was Slipknot.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever.
But I don't know. The good thing about having masks, I've learned,
what,
though, is that you can change
in?
Members of
Disturbed?
The band as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
Disturbed. Yeah, they do not wear masks.
They
His
do
name
not?
Is David Draymond.
Because
he's got the big like piercing, the big the gauge on his lot, bottom lip.
And they're or is that Drowning Pool?
Yeah, no, that's Disturbed.
Okay. Drowning Pool is Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Correct.
Thought that was the same song.
No.
Nope.
Oh,
are you down with the sickness?
Are you down with the sickness?
Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Okay, man, I get those songs confused. And then Head PE?
Okay, so Taylor.
Okay, so anyway, the Evening Standard, they did an interview with Courtney Love. And
yeah, because she's doing like an 8-part series on the BBC about women and music. That's why this is relevant.
Okay. So
they did like
Courtney
a wine race.
Yeah.
She is.
Okay.
And it's like an 8-part series on BBC about women in the music industry.
And she, you know, just reading from this thing here, the AV Club, they say that she alternately praised and shaded a dozen or more female artists. But the one that's getting noticed is her comment about Taylor Swift. Here's the quote. Taylor is not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably the Madonna of now, but she's not interesting as an artist. Now,
well, Courtney Love and Madonna had beef in the past, too, right?
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, Madonna said she didn't like them.
Well, the MTV Awards, Madonna's given this speech, you know, on the red carpet, and Courtney Love's drunk and starts throwing stuff up there. And
Courtney Love said something about one time, like, the only thing she liked about Madonna was Desperately Seeking Susan.
Okay, that's pretty good. Right. I don't remember that, but that's pretty funny.
Which is a good movie.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't remember that. So, I mean, look, Courtney Love not liking Taylor Swift or saying that she's not important. It's not surprising. I wouldn't have been surprising.
I'm also like, I don't think she's wrong.
I think she can be famous and be good at what she does and not be important, right?
Right, and a safe space. Like, if you're Courtney Love, like, Courtney Love is dangerous. I know she's not nearly as popular or as well-liked or any of those things as Taylor Swift, but her music is rock and roll. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
The lyrics are dangerous. The ideas are dangerous. It's dangerous. It is not as if you had a daughter who was 15 right now and you could choose which one she would be into, Courtney Love or Taylor Swift, you're taking Taylor Swift every time.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Love and Hole are dangerous. They're dangerous.
I think it's define important. Like, why is it not
I think
not
you know
important?
It. It's like defining
well, is
porn.
It,
you
is
know?
It musically not important? Because I get that, but I feel like what she's doing like in the industry could be important.
Feel like, no, she's saying it's not important in the sense that it's not changing anything.
Artistically.
Yeah, artistically.
It's not changing
it's not
anything. It's not anything that we'll look back on and go, holy crap, that was important. It's not... You know, it's not the Beatles.
No.
It's not important. And it's not. It's not fine.
Shifting the culture.
Not everything has to be important. There's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift. But it's not important. It's not.
I mean, you know, I agree with that, but.
And it's not dangerous. It is
either.
A safe space.
It's certainly not dangerous. She goes on to say, it's great that there are so many successful women in the music industry, but lots of them are becoming a cliche. Now, every successful woman
Which,
is
Which, by
clumped.
The way, just let me say this, because I know Swifties are crazy. That doesn't mean I think she's bad.
Right.
But she's not dangerous or important. She could be great and not dangerous or important.
I don't know.
There's plenty of
Courtney
people
Love thinks
who...
she's bad.
Right.
From that, do you?
No, I don't.
She might,
no.
But...
I don't get that vibe from her.
She's just saying that she's not important.
Right.
She says there's so many
successful... She said she called her the Madonna of today.
Right.
That's accurate.
And that's a lot of success.
Yeah.
I mean, right? So,
and popular.
And popular.
Right.
Yeah. She says, there's so many successful women in the music industry, but lots of them are becoming a cliche. Now, every successful woman is cloned, so there's just too much music. They're all the same. If you play something on Spotify, you get bombarded with a lot of stuff that's exactly the same. I mean, I like the idea of Beyonce doing a country record because it's about black women going into spaces where previously only white women have been allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I like it much. But as a concept, I love it.
That's exactly
I just don't
how
like,
I feel about
I just
Beyonce.
Don't like her music.
Yeah, exactly. I feel exactly about that album. I'm like, man, that is ballsy. I'm glad you did it. I love that people... Actually, that's important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the idea of important. It's important.
And then
that's
to end it with, I just don't like her music.
I don't like... Same thing. Yep. I tried listening to that Beyonce album. Don't love it.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But you know it's important.
But I know
you
it's important.
It
and not only
back.
Do I know it's important, I'm really glad she did it.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. I don't have to like it, though, right? Like, I can understand those two things.
Yeah.
I think that's all she's saying is, like, this is a really monumental album. She's basically saying, what Beyonce did was important. I don't listen to it.
Yeah.
But it's important. That's a big, that's fine.
She also took
And Taylor Swift is wildly popular like Madonna, but it's not important. It's a safe space. It's not dangerous.
She took a little shot at Lana Del Rey. She says, I haven't liked Lana since she covered a John Denver song. I think she should have really taken 7 years off.
I will say that because in the past she had spoken highly of Lana Del Rey.
Yes, exactly.
Like she said that Lana Del Rey was a genius. So there may be something like she doesn't like her newer albums. I like Lana Del Rey, so I don't know. But
well, then they say Lana's a huge influence on Courtney's new album. So I don't know. But yes, that she did like her, and then she's saying I haven't liked her since, and she should have taken something off. She sings praises of Patti Smith, whom she listened to in Juvenile Hall at the age of 11.
Of course,
Nina Simone, PJ Harvey. She says the first four albums.
All important.
Then I'm done. Julie London and Joni Mitchell, the early albums, not the experimental S. She likes Deborah Harry, having listened to her when she was in a foster home. And was that about all of them? I think that's about all of them. She might have mentioned a couple others, but I think those are the main ones. Of course, Taylor Swift, the one making headlines. So is it surprising? No. Does Taylor Swift care? Absolutely not. Taylor Swift doesn't care that Courtney Love said it's not important. I don't know that Taylor Swift even hears about this.
I wonder, though. Oh, she heard about it.
She heard about it.
She did?
I wonder if it does bother her.
She's very connected to what people are saying about her.
I wonder if it does bother her, though. I wonder if it does.
It might. Look, people have feelings.
People
want to
be important.
It never feels good.
Right. No. People want to be interesting, right? And you can't. You can hate Courtney Love, but what you can't say is that she wasn't important or isn't interesting.
Right.
So when someone important and interesting calls you unimportant and uninteresting, it probably stings. Like if, I don't know, a contemporary of hers that did similar stuff, if Celine Dion or who's the Rolling in the Deep lady?
Adele.
Adele said, well, I don't like Taylor Swift. I think Taylor Swift would be like, I don't care what you like. But there is something about a Courtney Love or someone like that saying something negative about you that might sting more than you think.
Yeah, true.
Right? You would think in your head, well, if Adele said it, that would bother me. But it's like, I don't care what Adele says, right? But Courtney Love, there's something there, and if Courtney Love said something bad about me, I might take it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Michael Jackson probably didn't care if Madonna said something bad about him, but I bet you if Prince said something bad about him, it stung a little bit more.
True. And you're right. I guess she does pay attention to everything that's being said about her. So I've heard. So maybe she absolutely has heard about this.
Crackman wants to know, just ask Snowcone how it feels that everybody hates you.
Yeah, man, it's not great.
All right. Okay. It's not great. It stings.
Yeah. It stings.
How does it feel for everyone to say that you are unimportant, not interesting, and a safe space for women?
A safe space for women. That is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not great. No, I mean, none of it's good.
None of it's good.
No.
Is he a safe
thumbs
space?
Down, do not like.
Mm-hmm.
Would not go again.
Mm-hmm.
You are a safe space for women, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think
right,
so.
Yeah. I think so.
Right? Mm-hmm. Never thought of that.
And you're not dangerous.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, same thing, really.
Just, well, without that.
Without the success.
Accolades and success, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that part.
To back him up to be like, I sold more records than you ever did because Courtney Love and Hole sucks. Right. I listen to those records. They're stupid.
Yeah.
And anything that was good that you ever did, Billy wrote. I write it myself.
Yeah, no, right? I'm worthless.
All right.
Okay, moving on. Tennessee, great state of Tennessee, has said enough with the chemtrail nonsense. They have passed a bill which will ban chemtrails. For people who don't know the chemtrail conspiracy theory, it is that when you see airplanes in the sky and you see the vapor clouds that they leave behind, that they are poisoning us. Depending on the conspiracy theorist that you talk to, the chemical that they're dropping on us varies. It could be that they're trying to make us dumber. It could be that they're literally trying to kill us, that they're trying to kill crops, that they're changing the weather. That's a popular one, that they're trying to change the weather. Don't know where this originated, but it's been around as long as I can remember. And I remember my brother talking to me about it when I was a little kid, saying that people in small towns were scared of chemtrails, and I was very confused. And of course, as a little kid, I started to get scared myself, like, well, are they poisoning us? It's kind of like the fluoride in water thing. I'm guessing a lot of people that believe those clouds up there are poison also think that fluoride is in our water to make us dumber, or at least it is making us dumber. Well, Tennessee's doing something about it, man.
If passed, the legislation would ban chemtrails in a bill based on a conspiracy theory. The chemtrail conspiracy theory claims commercial aircraft release poison into the atmosphere intentionally. Believers say the white lines you may see coming from planes in the sky are not vapor clouds known as condensation or contrails, but instead chemicals being sprayed from jets for a variety of reasons. If the legislation ends up becoming law, it would prohibit the release of the chemicals, which lawmakers claim affect the temperature, weather, and the intensity of the sunlight.
Yeah, no more affecting the temperature, weather, or intensity of the sunlight, and no more airborne chemicals being purposefully injected into the atmosphere. I don't know how this bill is written. It passed. I think it still has to be signed. So, but wouldn't, like, the pollution from an airplane, would that count as chemicals? That are being, but I guess it must be that your intent is to inject these chemicals. I don't know. I love a good conspiracy theory. The chemtrail one, that's up there with the gold standard of conspiracy theories. I think if you are an overall big-time conspiracy theorist, then chemtrails is almost certainly on your list of things
of
that you are very suspicious of. So I'm glad that someone is doing something about it, and it's Tennessee. Maybe other states will follow their lead.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
What's going on?
Coming up, we're going to do this restaurant thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been...
Fast food restaurants.
Man, I've been eagerly awaiting. 12 of them, for Christ's sakes.
I think they're restaurants. I think I've heard people say, "Yeah, fast food's not restaurants."
They're fast food restaurants.
It's a fast food restaurant.
It's not just the end of the sentence when you say fast food. We just shortened it.
Right.
It's a fast food restaurant.
It's a fast food restaurant. I agree.
We're going to do 12 of them.
And well, I didn't do it. Someone else did it.
The greatest ever.
This guy had a great job.
Slim Fast has traveled the country. He's tried every fast food restaurant there is, even some that are only available in certain states, and then he's compiled a list of the 12 best fast food restaurants that he's ever had in his life.
That's where I was last
And he'll release that list live on this program next.
It's the Church of Laszlo.
Yo, the best fast food restaurant in America. It doesn't have to be one that you can get here locally. What do you think? What's your favorite? Are you one of those people who, when you're on the West Coast, you're like, we've got to go to In-N-Out? Or one of those types of places?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I heard there, because last time we talked about this, we talked about El Pollo Loco.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone sent me a message, because I was like, that's my favorite fast food restaurant. And then someone sent me a message, they're opening up one in Olathe.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, there was also talk of In-N-Out deciding that they were going to start heading this way. I don't know.
But yeah, last time I was in L.A., I took the boys to In-N-Out. But I don't know if it's because I do like In-N-Out. There's no doubt about it.
It's good.
But it also, I was like, you know, hey, I want the boys to know that they've...
Right.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
Got to say you've tried it.
Right. So I was like, hey, let's go to In-N-Out. So we went. But I will say the boys loved it without knowing the cultural phenomenon of In-N-Out, and then asked to go again.
Okay.
So I think maybe we get jaded by all the burger places we've tried. They liked it.
Is it the monster version?
Yeah, you get monster style.
Monster style, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's one of those things that I have to admit that when I'm around, if I'm on the West Coast and I see one, I'm like, I should just go in while I'm here.
You haven't done it?
I've done it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get it, and I'm not even a huge burger guy.
But animal style.
Animal style. Mm-hmm. Animal style, yeah. Yeah, it's good. But I think it tastes better because I know I can't get it at home. That's definitely part of the appeal.
But it is cool. It is good. Like, I'm not going to downplay it. It is good.
Yeah. So the best fast food restaurants in America, the top 12. Number 12, start at the bottom and work up. Jollibee. Do you guys know Jollibee?
I've never heard of it.
So there's quite a few locations, but there's none around here. When I mentioned it yesterday on Twitch, some people knew what it was immediately. It is a Philippines transplant. It's a Philippines fast food restaurant that I don't know how long it's been here.
Where is it? It's not
there's
here.
There's one in Michigan.
Really?
There's not one around here, but there's a bunch in California, mostly in California. Okay. But when I looked at the map, they were in quite a few states, just none right around us. But it does all kinds of stuff. Crispy fried chicken, beef patty steaks with gravy, spicy tuna pies, and then they have a trademark sweet sauce topped spaghetti. That's, I guess,
it feels like something I would try.
Satisfy any taste, whatever, whatever your taste might be. Absolutely. And what's
weird, spicy tuna pie does not sound good to me.
It just looks like a fast food joint. You know? I wouldn't think anything.
I would try that.
But I wouldn't know what it is. You know, like, what are some things that we have around here that people will say, oh, I can't get that back home? We used to have a few, but I don't know that any of those things are still around. Someone mentioned Checkers earlier. I don't know if Checkers are still around or not. Someone said there might still be one in Lawrence. I haven't had that in a long time. But for the most part, I don't think that we have anything left. When I was a kid, a lot of people who traveled here were like, oh, you still have White Castle.
Do, like, fried chicken.
Yeah, the fried chicken seems to be their main thing, their first and foremost thing. And they, you know, this guy
chicken
says
sandwiches, that, chicken tenders, burgers.
He says their fried chicken's better than KFC.
Burger steaks.
Yeah. I mean, as far as weird stuff goes, it looks like the sweet sauce topped spaghetti.
Two savory sweet beef burger patty smothered with mushroom gravy and paired with rice. Now that sounds good.
It looks good.
People are going to get. That is something I would make at home for myself.
It looks good.
I would take ground beef, put it in a thing, put mushroom gravy on it and mushrooms, and then boom, that's dinner for me.
I like the idea, too, though, that if, you know, one person's in the mood for sweet spaghetti and the other one wants a burger, well, whatever, we can go here. Something for everyone. Dicks and Zips is number 11.
Dicks and Zips?
Yeah, Dicks and Zips. So, two establishments. You know,
Jolly Spaghetti.
You know Dicks because it's Dick's Burgers.
Oh, that's Dick's Burgers?
Directly next door to it, yeah. And I have to admit.
So Dick's is owned by another place called Zips?
Well, they've got them, Dick's and Zips, at number 11. It says, I don't know if they're owned by the same people or not, but it says Dick's, you know, talks about their burgers. You've had them before. It's a walk-up burger joint. And then it says Zips has an eclectic menu all its own. Huge tubs of crinkle-cut fries, behemoth burgers with three sizzling meat patties and sliced ham, country-style chicken strips, and freshly fried battered fish. Filets, monster-sized menu, blah, blah. I don't know about Zips, but I did live next to Dick's, and, I mean, like, I saw it out my window. It was right underneath me. So, it was pretty cheap, especially for, like, Seattle. There wasn't...
Dick's is, how can I explain it? If you went during the day, you're like, oh, I got to try a Dick's burger, you'd be like, this is fine.
Yeah.
If you went late at night and had a little bit of a buzz on, you're like, this is great.
And it was...
It is perfect. I remember when
cheap.
I was in Pittsburgh, and they have a restaurant, whatever, to put sandwiches together. It's really popular. They put French fries on the sandwiches and all these things, right? And I had just moved there, and I remember it was New Year's Eve, and I had a pretty big buzz on, and I was looking for that restaurant. I was with some friends of mine, and I asked a cop for it, right? And I was like, is that place really as good as I think? And he looks at me, and he goes, how much you had to drink? And I'm like, a lot. He's like, you're going to love it.
Going to be perfect.
He's like, but if you're thinking about going to dinner, not so much. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And he was right. I went in, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I went a couple weeks later on a lunch break, and can I just get my fries on the side?
There were times when I was walking by there on my way home, and I was like, I'll just grab a burger, because they were small burgers. It's not like the big, thick restaurant-style burger, so even if you just want a snack, and they had good French fries, so...
It is like, it's like town mixed town topic with a... People are going to get... They're not going to get the full picture, but mixed town topic with a Big Mac, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Burger Boy a little bit, which has kind of gone too. But yeah,
it's
just a fast, cheap burger and good French fries. Number 10 on the list, White Castle. People either love White Castle or hate White Castle. When I was a kid, I was not a huge fan of it. But as I got older, I started to like it. You know what happened is snow cones started eating them. And then I started to get, you did buy the frozen ones.
Uh-huh.
I started getting cravings for them again. When I went to your wedding, Lazo, you remember you were married?
I was?
Yeah.
To who?
Hurricane Katrina.
I married a woman named Katrina.
No, that's when it happened. That's when it happened. Was
no
Hurricane Katrina?
Why I didn't last.
That's when it happened. It was like the same day.
Was I happy?
I don't remember because I was eating White Castle. I remember stuffing my face full of White Castle. They're everywhere in Michigan. Still,
last time I went to Detroit, I took my kids there. I'm like, you got to have it. Got to have it. Let's go, boys. You got to do Coney's. You got to do White Castle. Let's go.
Are they completely gone here now?
Yeah,
it's weird because they used to be
the closest is like St. Louis, I think.
Wow, yeah, it's crazy. Well, we ate it quite a bit when I was a kid. My family liked it. Number 9 on the list is Kelly's Roast Beef. I've never had Kelly's Roast Beef, but Arby's is my probably second favorite fast food.
I love Arby's.
I love Arby's when I'm on road trips. I always get it because there are Arby's around here, but none of them close enough to my house to get it home and still eat it hot. So it's kind of a long drive to just go get fast food, that sort of a thing. So we just drove to Colorado. I wanted Arby's so bad because I know I'm going to see him off the interstate. We also have Lion's Choice out of St. Louis, which is fine too.
I have to be honest with you. I was super. There's a Lion's Choice by my house.
Right mm-hmm. by your house.
And I was super excited. I'm like, all right, because I love
roast
Arby's
sandwiches. Yeah.
I went and got Lion's Choice. I was like, not interested.
Don't like it
I
as
will
much.
Be at Arby's.
It is different a little bit. I've only
I'm
ever
just telling
had,
you that was me.
I'll tell you this. I've had Lion's Choice a handful of times and was always in St. Louis. I think I always thought like you. I love Arby's. They've got their mm-hmm. own roast beef. We had it in Kansas City, then it went away, and then it came back. And is it still there, Lazo? Is Lion's Choice still mm-hmm. in business? Okay. I didn't know. I think about going there. I should go there, but yeah, I haven't been in a long time. Kelly's roast
Man,
beef
that
I've
Kelly's
never had.
Looks good.
It looks really good. I've never
that
had
roast
it.
Beef they have. It looks, then it's got like
it looked different.
Yeah, it looks really good. New England seafood.
Kelly's roast beef and seafood yeah. sandwiches.
And
so.
The fish sandwiches. And
I'd be man, interested. That
looks like a place I would be at a lot.
I'd be interested. Number 8 on the list.
That fish sandwich looks legit.
Dave's Hot Chicken. Anyone here had Dave's Hot
yeah,
Chicken?
Yeah, of course. There's one on Metcalf now.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was Dave's Hot Chicken here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a couple around here now, I think.
Oh, I thought that was like a West Coast thing.
And that Gus's, too, I think.
Okay.
Gus's is, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
But really that's good. Like fried chicken. I don't, you know what? I shouldn't say anything. I've had Gus's. That's out, I don't know, down south further, 150th Street maybe. But Dave's Hot Chicken is right at like 95th and Metcalf.
Okay, I've had
And that
Gus's.
Is like more, I think, chicken sandwiches and stuff. And I thought it was really good when I had it. I only had it once.
I've had Gus's in when I lived in KCK, there was a Gus's. I don't know if it's still over there or not, but I did not know that there was a Dave's here. Last time I had Dave's, I think, was in California. I thought it was a West Coast thing. Number 7
it
on the list.
It opened up not too long ago, right
okay.
down there.
Okay. Chick-fil-A, people love Chick-fil-A. I seem to be the only one who can live without it. I don't dislike it. I just don't ever need to wait in line for it. I don't.
It's fine.
It's fine. If someone
but
gives
when
it
I
to
get
me,
it, my boys love it, so I get it. It's fine.
Those breakfast sandwiches are good, but I'm not awake for breakfast.
Popeye's
so.
Chicken sandwich is better.
Do they still have that?
They did.
When I go to Popeye's, I'm getting a bucket of fried chicken, so I didn't know if they still had that
I'm
or
a
not.
Big chicken sandwich fan.
I am too, but I get it at Wendy's. I get a spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's.
With onions and cheese?
And well, no onions, but with cheese. And I also like the jalapeno popper spicy chicken sandwich. Mm. Have you tried that?
Mm-hmm.
They put all the cream cheese mm-hmm. on everything. Mm-hmm. But people love Chick-fil-A, so it's always
I do.
On this list.
I don't hate Chick-fil-A. I just
I don't
it's fine.
It's just, exactly.
I wouldn't pick it. But I eat it a lot because my boys pick it a lot.
Okay, if someone picked it up for me, I'd be happy that yeah. someone
and
got it
And they're always
for me,
like, I'm like, hey, what do you want? And if it's fast food, a lot of times they'll say Chick-fil-A.
The little breakfast sandwiches are very good. But I don't eat fast food breakfast hardly ever because I'm not awake. Right. So,
When I was a kid, I think Chick-fil-A was like one of those mall things.
When I was a kid, it was a southern thing. We didn't have it.
When I was a kid, I remember going to the mall, and I remember there being a Chick-fil-A there. And we never went in, but I remember being... We were like, this will show my age a little bit too. We would be like, Chick-fil-A? Like Fila sure. shoes or whatever? Yeah. Like, what is Chick-fil-A? Never went there because we went to the hot dog place or whatever, or the pretzel place. But I thought that was literally just a mall store. I wonder if he started out in malls and then branched out.
I always thought it was a southern thing for some reason, but I could be wrong. When I was a kid, I'd hear it referenced.
It couldn't be that because it was in Detroit when I was a kid.
Right, so maybe I confused it. But when I was a kid, I thought that it was just in the South. As a matter of fact, we didn't get it until I was 19 or 20.
Okay, yeah, no, we had it when I was a kid at the mall.
I'd say around the time you moved here was around the time. Actually, you know what? I think you were already here because they did a big, hey, we're getting Chick-fil-A here. I think you'd already moved here. So, yeah, that's how long it's been. It hasn't been too terribly long, depending on your age. Five Guys is number 6 on their list. People love Five Guys.
I absolutely love it. I think it's wildly expensive. But for a burger, I think Five Guys is legit.
Like, it is like really a restaurant-style burger, though. It's pretty big.
It is. It's not... It's a legit burger, and it's good.
I think their French fries are fantastic.
Yep.
And French fries are important to me, so if someone wants to go there, I love their French fries.
And I like that they just throw a ton in the bag. They're
they
like,
put
whatever.
So
exactly.
Much
you get
bag,
a ton of them.
Liza's right. It's pricey.
It is pricey, though. Like, it's one of those things. I'm not a guy who looks at the cost of things all the time. I don't make a ton of money, but I if I'm out to dinner, it is what it is, right? Like, you know, if I don't...
The choice to go out.
If I don't have the money, then I just stay home and make hamburger helper. It is what it is. But there are very... sometimes where you're like, how much did you say?
Yeah.
And they're like, that'll be $72. I'm like, at a burger place, right? I'm like, we could have literally gone to Outback.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I have. But I think their burgers are great, but it is wildly pricey for some reason.
Well, last month it was in the news because that guy on the line was pointing out that he got a $24 check for a single meal at Five Guys. And mm-hmm. you tried ordering the same thing online, and it wasn't just where
it's
he lived.
It's pricey.
Number five on the list is Raising Cane's. I like chicken, so, you know, I wouldn't put it in my top 12, but I like chicken, and if someone wants to eat at Raising Cane's, I'm down. Whataburger is number four. It's fine. I
don't understand it. I've tried it several times in the line at Whataburger. Really, I think I told a story, but we sat in line. It had to be for 50 minutes to an hour to get our food at like midnight, me and the boys after a baseball tournament. As I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, and Taco Bell is just swinging people through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I could get out of this drive-thru, had a Jeep, I would drive to Taco Bell, or I would go over the median and go to Taco Bell right now. And then I got the food, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's not. It's fine.
I had it in Texas before. My brother wanted it when they opened it here, and I was in his car. I was riding shotgun with him, and I wasn't hungry, but he wanted to go there, and we sat in line for a while. But I figured it was because it was new and people were curious.
And
I don't know if it's like that.
And the spicy ketchup is good. I will give them that.
I don't know if I've even.
But it comes in a pack. Like, I feel like somebody else could give me spicy ketchup. It's good.
I'll probably figure that out. Number three on the list, In-N-Out.
I do like In-N-Out. I have to be real. Like, I do.
It's good.
Dude, it's good. It's really good.
Again, I'm not like a burger connoisseur, so.
I want to be the kind of guy that's like, oh, it's not that good. It's just because it's only in California. But it is that good. It's good. They have it down. It's good.
Shake Shack is number two on the list. This guy really
loves like
Shake Shack. I've had Shake Shack maybe only once. I feel like I've had it more than once. But again, I don't know if I got the thing I'm supposed to get. Is what they're known for. I mean, they did have fries with like some cheese on them or something enjoyed. So that was good. But again, it wouldn't probably make my top five. It definitely wouldn't. And then number one, which I just stopped at this place on the way home from Colorado. It was packed. We were in Topeka. And we just went there to get ice cream, but it's always packed. Culver's. This guy thinks Culver's is the best fast food. You know what's weird is, again, not a huge burger guy.
I went to Culver's not too long ago.
I love their ice cream. Go there for ice cream quite frequently. The food is fine. Like, I'm just not all that. They got good fish and chips.
You're not a big burger guy. That's what I was just going to say. You have to try the other stuff. Like, I think their fish and chips is great.
It's really good fish
and
chips.
And now, it bothers me a little bit because I think in Kansas City, there's a million things that I love. I can go get great barbecue for very little money, right? But good fish and chips restaurants are just not around here.
No.
Like, those little kind of, like, you know, fast food fish and chips places. I will say that I think the best fish and chips in Kansas City is Culver's.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Like, I go in there, I'm like, if I go there and the boys are like, hey, there's a Culver's, let's stop there. I'm like, yes, I'll get fish and chips. I think it's really good.
There's a fish and chips food truck in Kansas City that I've never been to. I know people wait hours for it. And when I've heard people talk about that food truck,
I've heard of Off the Hook food truck. I've seen it before. I've never stopped and got it, but I've heard it's great.
Okay, so that must be what I'm thinking of is Off the Hook, because I've never tried it, but when I hear stories about it, I'm like, well, that's because we don't have a lot of places to get fish and chips. I do, too.
I grew up in, like, you know, like a Polish Catholic area, so, like, every Friday we would go to different fish and chips. That was just there were times when my father would barbecue outside. I know people are saying barbecue. He would grill outside, but he wouldn't have a grill. He would have
the Fry Daddy or something?
Fry Daddies and put fish in there and have the whole neighborhood over there for Friday night fish and chips.
We used to do fish fries.
So I grew up with that, and it's just real. It's really not here.
Well, not fast food, at least.
No,
I mean, when I go to an Irish bar,
if I go to like a high end, like, I think Bristol has great seafood. I get it. There are great seafood places, but then I don't want to get fish and chips when I roll into there, right?
Right.
I want fish and chips to be like, hey, it looks like Five Guys.
Yeah, I get them at bars. I mean, if you're in an Irish bar, I expect them to have fish and chips, and some places have better fish and chips than others. But as far as being able to get it quick or in a drive-through setting, I don't know of a place other than Culver's. But everyone's favorite, real quick. I mean, Taco Bell to me is my default, but then I go Arby's.
I like Arby's
and Hardee's. It's like a tie. But you know, if I have one the rest of my life, well, I don't know.
I think if you want to, if you're hungry and you don't have a lot of money, and you want to get full and eat like one meal a day, Hardee's will hook you up.
I love Hardee's.
Hardee's is like,
it's
here's a
burger place.
Here's a 4 pound burger.
The San Francisco like, oh, burger.
Yeah, all their burgers too are like, get the big fat ass one. And you're like, give me two of those and I'm good.
And they've got onion rings. And, mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I would say Hardee's probably.
That's my favorite burger place. But Taco Bell, if Taco Bell only had like 10 locations on the West Coast, it would be number one on everyone's list. But because everyone has it, it doesn't
matter. And I love Taco Bell. I probably eat Taco Bell the most of any place. But
I think most of us do.
Like, if I'm like, what is the best value for taste? It's probably Hardee's, Carl's Jr.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go Hardee's, Arby's, I think. They're probably tied. Snowcone?
McDonald's.
McDonald's guy.
It's a perfect fast food restaurant to me.
Yeah, they're consistent, and they got some pretty good French fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. The Church of Laszlo. Yo, we done?
That's it, my man.
All right, I got to get out of here. I got to go watch baseball, baby.
Well, enjoy.
Good show, Courtney Love. Stay positive, kids.
Yo, the best fast food restaurant in America. It doesn't have to be one that you can get here locally. What do you think? What's your favorite? Are you one of those people who, when you're on the West Coast, you're like, we've got to go to In-N-Out? Or one of those types of places?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I heard there, because last time we talked about this, we talked about El Pollo Loco.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone sent me a message, because I was like, that's my favorite fast food restaurant. And then someone sent me a message, they're opening up one in Olathe.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, there was also talk of In-N-Out deciding that they were going to start heading this way. I don't know.
But yeah, last time I was in L.A., I took the boys to In-N-Out. But I don't know if it's because I do like In-N-Out. There's no doubt about it.
It's good.
But it also, I was like, you know, hey, I want the boys to know that they've...
Right.
It's a cultural phenomenon.
Got to say you've tried it.
Right. So I was like, hey, let's go to In-N-Out. So we went. But I will say the boys loved it without knowing the cultural phenomenon of In-N-Out, and then asked to go again.
Okay.
So I think maybe we get jaded by all the burger places we've tried. They liked it.
Is it the monster
version?
Yeah,
the monster style.
Monster style, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's one of those things that I have to admit that when I'm around, if I'm on the West Coast and I see one, I'm like, I should just go in while I'm here.
You haven't done it?
I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get it, and I'm not even a huge burger guy.
But animal style.
Animal style. Mm-hmm. Animal style, yeah. Yeah, it's good. But I think it tastes better because I know I can't get it at home. That's definitely part of the appeal.
But it is cool. It is good. Like, I'm not going to downplay it. It is good.
Yeah. So the best fast food restaurants in America, the top 12. Number 12, start at the bottom and work up. Jollibee. Do you guys know Jollibee?
I've never heard of it.
So there's quite a few locations, but there's none around here. When I mentioned it yesterday on Twitch, some people knew what it was immediately. It is a Philippines transplant. It's a Philippines fast food restaurant that, I don't know how long it's been here.
Where is it? It's not
here. There's one in Michigan.
Really?
There's not one around here, but there's a bunch in California, mostly in California. Okay. But when I looked at the map, they were in quite a few states, just none right around us. But it does all kinds of stuff. Crispy fried chicken, beef patty steaks with gravy, spicy tuna pies, and then they have a trademark sweet sauce topped spaghetti. That's, I guess, you know.
It feels like something I would try.
Satisfy any taste, whatever your taste might be. Absolutely. And
spicy tuna pie does not sound good to me.
It just looks like a fast food joint. You know? I wouldn't think anything.
I would try that.
But I wouldn't know what it is. What are some things we have around here that people will say, I can't get that back home? We used to have a few, but I don't know that any of those things are still around. Someone mentioned Checkers earlier. I don't know if Checkers are still around or not. Someone said there might still be one in Lawrence. I haven't had that in a long time. But for the most part, I don't think that we have anything left. When I was a kid, a lot of people who traveled here were like, you still have White Castle.
So they do like fried chicken.
Yeah, the fried chicken seems to be their main thing, their first and foremost thing. And they, you know, this guy
chicken
says
sandwiches, chicken tenders, burgers.
He says their fried chicken's better than KFC.
Burger steaks.
Yeah. I mean, as far as weird stuff goes, it looks like these sweet sauce topped spaghetti.
Two savory sweet beef burger patty smothered with mushroom gravy and paired with rice. Now that sounds good.
It looks good.
People are going to get. That is something I would make at home for myself.
It looks good.
I would take ground beef, put it in a thing, put mushroom gravy on it and mushrooms, and then boom. That's dinner for me.
I like the idea, too, though, that if, you know, one person's in the mood for sweet spaghetti and the other one wants a burger, well, whatever, we can go here. Something for everyone. Dicks and Zips is number 11.
Dicks and Zips?
Yeah, Dicks and Zips. So, two establishments. You know,
Jolly Spaghetti.
You know Dick's because it's Dick's Burgers.
Oh, that's Dick's Burgers?
Directly next door to it, yeah. And I have to admit.
So Dick's is owned by another place called Zips?
Well, they've got them, Dick's and Zips, at number 11. It says, I don't know if they're owned by the same people or not, but it says Dick's, you know, talks about their burgers. You've had them before.
They're
great. It's a walk-up burger joint. And then it says Zips has an eclectic menu all its own. Huge tubs of crinkle-cut fries, behemoth burgers with three sizzling meat patties and sliced ham, country-style chicken strips, and freshly fried battered fish fillets, monster-sized menu, blah, blah. I don't know about Zips, but I did live next to Dick's, and, I mean, like, I saw it out my window. It was right underneath me. So, when it was pretty cheap, especially for, like, Seattle, there wasn't...
Dick's is, how can I explain it? If you went during the day, you're like, oh, I got to try a Dick's burger, you'd be like, this is fine.
Yeah.
If you went late at night and had a little bit of a buzz on, you're like, this is great.
And it was...
It is perfect. I remember when
cheap.
I was in Pittsburgh, and they have a restaurant, whatever, they put sandwiches together. It's really popular. They put French fries on the sandwiches and all these things, right? And I had just moved there, and I remember it was New Year's Eve, and I had a pretty big buzz on, and I was looking for that restaurant. I was with some friends of mine, and I asked a cop for it, right? And I was like, is that place really as good as I think? And he goes, he looks at me, and he goes, how much you had to drink? And I'm like, a lot. He's like, you're going to love it.
Going to be perfect.
He's like, but if you're thinking about going to dinner, not so much. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And he was right. I went in, and I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I went a couple weeks later on a lunch break, and can I just get my fries on the side?
There were times when I was walking by there on my way home, and I was like, I'll just grab a burger, because they were small burgers. It's not like the big, thick restaurant-style burger, so even if you just want a snack, and they had good French fries, so...
It is like, it's like town mixed town topic with a... People are going to get... They're not going to get the full picture, but mixed town topic with a Big Mac, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me of Burger Boy a little bit, which has kind of gone too. But yeah,
it's
just a fast, cheap burger and good French fries. Number 10 on the list, White Castle. People either love White Castle or hate White Castle. When I was a kid, I was not a huge fan of it. But as I got older, I started to like it. You know what happened is Snow Cone started eating them. And then I started to get, you did buy the frozen ones.
Uh-huh.
I started getting cravings for them again. When I went to your wedding, Lazo, you remember you were married?
I was?
Yeah.
To who?
Hurricane Katrina.
I married a woman named Katrina.
No, that's when it happened. That's when it happened. Was Hurricane Katrina? That's when it happened. It was like the same day.
Was I happy?
I don't remember because I was eating White Castle. I remember stuffing my face full of White Castle. They're everywhere in Michigan. Still,
last time I went to Detroit, I took my kids there. I'm like, you got to have it. Got to have it. Let's go, boys. You got to do Coney's. You got to do White Castle. Let's go.
Are they completely gone here now?
Yeah,
it's weird because they used to be
the closest is like St. Louis, I think.
Wow, yeah, it's crazy. Well, we ate it quite a bit when I was a kid. My family liked it. Number 9 on the list is Kelly's Roast Beef. I've never had Kelly's Roast Beef, but Arby's is my probably second favorite fast food.
I love Arby's.
I love Arby's when I'm on road trips. I always get it because there are Arby's around here, but none of them close enough to my house to get it home and still eat it hot. So it's kind of a long drive to just go get fast food, that sort of a thing. So we just drove to Colorado. I wanted Arby's so bad because I know I'm going to see him off the interstate. We also have Lion's Choice out of St. Louis, which is fine too.
I have to be honest with you. I was super. There's a Lion's Choice by my house,
right by your house,
and I was super excited. I'm like, all right, because I love
roast
Arby's
beef sandwiches. Yeah,
I went and got Lion's Choice. I was like, not interested.
Don't like it
I
as
will
much.
Be at Arby's.
It is different a little bit. I've only ever had. I'll tell you this. I've had Lion's Choice a handful of times, and it was always in St. Louis. I think I always thought like you. I love Arby's. They've got their own roast beef. We had it in Kansas City, then it went away, and then it came back. And is it still there, Lazo? Is Lion's Choice still in business? Okay. I didn't know. I think about going there. I should go there, but yeah, I haven't been in a long time. Kelly's Roast Beef, I've
Kelly's
never had.
Kelly's looks good.
It looks really good. I've never
that
had
roast
it.
Beef they have, it looks, then it's got like...
It looked different.
Yeah, it looks really good. New England seafood.
Kelly's roast beef and seafood sandwiches.
And the fish sandwiches. And
I'd be interested
That looks like a place I would be at a lot.
I'd be interested. Number 8 on the list.
That fish sandwich looks legit.
Dave's Hot Chicken. Anyone here had Dave's Hot Chicken?
Yeah, of course. There's one on Metcalf now.
Oh, there is?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was Dave's Hot Chicken here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a couple around here now, I think.
Oh, I thought that was like a West Coast thing.
And that Gus's, too, I think.
Okay. Well, Gus's is, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
But really that's good. Like fried chicken. I don't, you know what? I shouldn't say anything. I've had Gus's. That's out, I don't know, down south further, 150th Street maybe. But Dave's Hot Chicken is right at like 95th and Metcalf.
Okay, I've had
Gus's. And that
Gus's.
Is like more, I think, chicken sandwiches and stuff. And I thought it was really good when I had it. I only had it once.
I've had Gus's in when I lived in KCK, there was a Gus's. I don't know if it's still over there or not. But I did not know that there was a Dave's here. Last time I had Dave's, I think, was in California. I thought it was a West Coast thing. Number seven
and
on the list.
It opened up not too long ago, right down there.
Okay. Chick-fil-A, people love Chick-fil-A. I seem to be the only one who can live without it. I don't dislike it. I just don't ever need to wait in line for it. I don't.
It's fine.
It's fine. If someone gives it to me.
When I get it, my boys love it, so I get it. It's fine.
Those breakfast sandwiches are good, but I'm not awake for breakfast.
Popeye's chicken sandwich is better.
Do they still have that?
They did.
When I go to Popeye's, I'm getting, you know, a bucket of fried chicken, so I didn't know if they still had that.
I'm
or
a
not.
Big chicken sandwich fan.
I am too, but I get it at Wendy's. I get a spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's.
With onions and cheese?
And well, no onions, but with cheese. And I also like the jalapeno popper spicy chicken sandwich. Mm. Have you tried that?
Mm-hmm.
They put all the cream cheese on everything. Mm-hmm. But people love Chick-fil-A, so it's always
I do.
On this list.
I don't hate Chick-fil-A. It's fine.
It's just, exactly.
I wouldn't pick it. But I eat it a lot because my boys pick it a lot.
Okay, if someone picked it up for me, I'd be happy that someone
and
got it
for me. And they're always like, I'm like, hey, what do you want? And if it's fast food, a lot of times they'll say Chick-fil-A.
The little breakfast sandwiches are very good, but I don't eat fast food breakfast hardly ever because I'm not awake. Right. So,
When I was a kid, I think Chick-fil-A was like one of those mall things.
When I was a kid, it was a southern thing. We didn't have it.
When I was a kid, I remember going to the mall, and I remember there being a Chick-fil-A there. And we never went in, but I remember being... We were like, this will show my age a little bit too. We would be like, Chick-fil-A? Like Fila sure. Shoes or whatever? Yeah. Like, what is Chick-fil-A? Never went there because we went to the hot dog place or whatever, or the pretzel place. But I thought that was literally just a mall store. I wonder if he started out in malls and then branched out.
I always thought it was a southern thing for some reason, but I could be wrong. When I was a kid, I'd hear it referenced.
It couldn't be that because it was in Detroit when I was a kid.
Right, so maybe I confused it. But when I was a kid, I thought that it was just in the South. As a matter of fact, we didn't get it until I was 19 or 20.
Okay, yeah, no, we had it when I was a kid at the mall.
I'd say around the time you moved here was around the time. Actually, you know what? I think you were already here because they did a big, hey, we're getting Chick-fil-A here. I think you already moved here. So, yeah, that's how long it's been. It hasn't been too terribly long, depending on your age. Five Guys is number six on our list. People love Five Guys.
I absolutely love it. I think it's wildly expensive. But for a burger, I think Five Guys is legit.
Like, it is like really a restaurant-style burger, though. It's pretty big.
It is. It's not... It's a legit burger, and it's good.
I think their french fries are fantastic.
Yep.
And french fries are important to me, so if someone wants to go there, I love their french fries.
And I like that they just throw a ton in the bag.
They put so much in the bag. You get a ton of them.
Liza's right. It's pricey.
It is pricey. Like when you go, it's one of those things. I'm not a guy who looks at the cost of things all the time. I don't make a ton of money, but I if I'm out to dinner, it is what it is, right? Like, you know, if I don't...
The choice to go out.
If I don't have the money, then I just stay home and make hamburger helper. It is what it is. But there are sometimes where you're like, how much did you say?
Yeah.
And they're like, that'll be $72. I'm like, at a burger place, right? I'm like, we could have literally gone to Outback.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I have. But I think their burgers are great, but it is wildly pricey for some reason.
Well, last month it was in the news because that guy on the line was pointing out that he got a $24 check for a single meal at Five Guys. And you tried ordering the same thing online, and it wasn't just where
he
lived.
It's pricey.
Number five on the list is Raising Cane's. I like chicken, so, you know, I wouldn't put it in my top 12, but I like chicken, and if someone wants to eat at Raising Cane's, I'm down. Whataburger is number four. It's fine. I
don't understand it. I've tried it several times in the line at Whataburger. Really I think I've told a story, but we sat in line. It had to be for 50 minutes to an hour to get our food at like midnight, me and the boys after a baseball tournament, as I'm looking out of the corner of my eye and Taco Bell is just swinging people through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I could get out of this drive-thru, had a Jeep, I would drive to Taco Bell, or I would go over the median and go to Taco Bell right now. And then I got the food, and I was like, yeah, it's fine. It's not. It's fine.
I'd had it in Texas before. My brother wanted it when they opened it here, and I was in his car. I was riding shotgun with him, and I wasn't hungry, but he wanted to go there, and we sat in line for a while. But I figured it was because it was new, and people were curious.
And
I don't know if it's like that or not.
The spicy ketchup is good. I will give them that.
Oh, I don't know if I've even...
But it comes in a pack. Like, I feel like somebody else could give me spicy ketchup. It's good.
I'll probably figure that out. Number three on the list, In-N-Out.
I do like In-N-Out. I have to be real. Like, I do.
It's good.
Dude, it's good. It's really good.
Again, I'm not like a burger connoisseur, so...
I want to be the kind of guy that's like, oh, it's not that good. It's just because it's only in California. But it is that good. It's good. They have it down. It's good.
Shake Shack is number two on the list. This guy really
loves like
Shake Shack. I've had Shake Shack maybe only once. I feel like I've had it more than once. But again, I don't know if I got the thing I'm supposed to get. If they, like, this is what they're known for. I mean, they did have fries with like some cheese on them or something
I
enjoyed.
Yeah.
So that was good. But I mean, it wouldn't probably make my top five. It definitely wouldn't. And then number one. Which I just stopped at this place on the way home from Colorado. It was packed. We were in Topeka. And we just went there to get ice cream, but it's always packed. Culver's. This guy thinks Culver's is the best fast food. You know what's weird is, again, not a huge burger guy.
I went to Culver's not too long ago.
I love their ice cream. Go there for ice cream quite frequently. The food is fine. Like, I'm just not... all that. They got good fish and chips.
You're not a big burger guy. That's what I was just going to say. You have to try the other stuff. Like, I think their fish and chips is great.
It's really good
fish and chips. And now, it bothers me a little bit because I think in Kansas City, there's a million things that I love. I can go get great barbecue for very little money, right? But good fish and chips restaurants are just not around here.
No.
Like, those little kind of, like, you know, fast food fish and chips... places. I will say that I think the best fish and chips in Kansas City is Culver's.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Like, I go in there, I'm like, if I go there and the boys are like, hey, there's a Culver's, let's stop there. I'm like, yes, I'll get fish and chips. I think it's really good.
There's a fish and chips food truck in Kansas City that I've never been to. I know people wait hours for it. And when I've heard people talk about that food truck,
I've heard
of
Off the Hook food truck. I've seen it before. I've never stopped and got it, but I've heard it's great.
Okay, so that must be what I'm thinking of is Off the Hook, because I've never tried it, but when I hear stories about it, I'm like, well, that's because we don't have a lot of places to get fish and chips. I do, too.
I grew up in, like, you know, like a Polish Catholic area, so, like, every Friday we would go to different fish and chips. That was just there were times when my father would barbecue outside. I know people are saying barbecue. He would grill outside, but he wouldn't have a grill. He would... have
the Fry Daddy or something?
Fry Daddies and put fish in there and have the whole neighborhood over there for Friday night fish and chips.
We used to do fish fries.
So I grew up with that, and it's really not here.
Well, not fast food, at least.
No.
I mean, when I go to an Irish bar,
I'll get fish and chips. Like, I think Bristol has great seafood. I get it. There are great seafood places, but then I don't want to get fish and chips when I roll into there, right?
Right.
I want fish and chips to be like, hey, it looks like Five Guys.
Yeah, I get them at bars. I mean, if you're in an Irish bar, I expect them to have fish and chips, and some places have better fish and chips than others. But as far as being able to get it quick or in a drive-through setting, I don't know of a place other than Culver's. But everyone's favorite, real quick, I mean, Taco Bell to me is my default, but then I go Arby's and Hardee's. It's like a tie, but, you know, if I have one the rest of my life, well, I don't know.
I think if you're hungry and you don't have a lot of money, and you want to get full and eat like one meal a day, Hardee's will hook you up.
I love Hardee's.
Hardee's is like,
here's
a 4-pound burger.
The San Francisco burger.
Yeah. All their burgers are like, get the big fat ass one. And you're like, give me two of those and I'm good.
And they've got onion rings. And, yeah.
I would say Hardee's probably.
That's my favorite burger place. But Taco Bell, if Taco Bell only had like 10 locations on the West Coast, it would be number one on everyone's list. But because everyone has it, it doesn't
matter. And I love Taco Bell. I probably eat Taco Bell the most of any place. But
most of us do.
Like, if I'm like, what is the best value for taste? It's probably Hardee's, Carl's Jr.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go Hardee's, Arby's, I think. They're probably tied. Snow Cone?
McDonald's.
McDonald's guy.
It's a perfect fast food restaurant to me.
Yeah. They're consistent, and they got some pretty good French fries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you're right. The Church of Laszlo. Yo, we done?
That's it, my man.
All right, I got to get out of here. I got to go watch baseball, baby.
Well, enjoy.
Good show, Courtney Love. Stay positive, kids.